She should have realized that Elland, who had been raised in the sprawling metropolis of Luthadel, would have a skewed concept of what constituted a large city. Fadrix was plenty big. Vin counted several ska slums, a smattering of noble mansions, and even two Luthadel-style keeps. The grand stone structures sported the typical arrangement of stained-glass windows and soaring buttressed walls. These were undoubtedly the homes of the most important nobles in the city. She landed on a rooftop near one of the keeps. Most of the buildings in the city were only a single story or two, which was quite a change from the high tenements of Luthadel. They were spaced out a bit more, and tended to be flat and squat, rather than tall and peaked. That only made the massive keep seem so much larger by comparison. The building was rectangular, with a row of three peaked towers rising from each end. Ornamented white stonework ran around the entire perimeter at the top. And the walls, of course, were lined with beautiful stained-glass windows lit from inside. Vin crouched on a low rooftop, looking at the colored beauty of the swirling mists. For a moment, she was taken back to a time 3 years before, when she had attended balls in keeps like this one in Luthadel, as part of Kelsier's plan to overthrow the final empire. She had been an uncertain, nervous thing back then, worried that her newfound world of a trustworthy crew and beautiful parties would collapse around her. And, in a way, it had, for that world was gone. She had helped to destroy it. Yet, during those months, she had been content. Perhaps more content than any other time in her life. She loved Elland, and was glad life had progressed to the point where she could call him husband. But there had been a delicious innocence about her early days with the crew. Dances spent with Elland reading at her table, pretending to ignore her. Nights spent learning the secrets of allomancy. Evenings spent sitting around the table at Clubs's shop, sharing laughter with the crew. They'd faced the challenge of planning something as large as the fall of an empire, yet felt no burden of leadership or weight of responsibility for the future. Somehow she had grown into a woman in between the fall of kings and collapse of worlds. Once she had been terrified of change. Then she had been terrified of losing Elland. Now her fears were more nebulous. Worries of what would come after she was gone. Worries of what would happen to the people of the Empire if she failed to divine the secrets she sought. She turned from her contemplation of the large castle-like keep, pushing herself off of a chimney brace and into the night. Attending those balls in Luthadel had changed her dramatically, leaving a residual effect that she'd never been able to shake. Something within her had responded instantly to the dancing and the parties. For the longest time, she'd struggled to understand how that part of her fit into the rest of her life. She still wasn't certain she knew the answer. Was Valette Renu, the girl she had pretended to be at the balls, really a part of Vin? Or just a fabrication devised to serve Kelsier's plot? Vin bounded across the city, making cursory notes of fortifications and troop placements. Hammond Demu would probably find a way to get true military spies into the city eventually, but they'd want to hear preliminary information from Vin. She also made note of living conditions. Elland had hoped that the city would be struggling, a factor that his siege would exacerbate, making Lord Yeoman more likely to capitulate. She found no obvious signs of mass starvation or disrepair, though it was difficult to tell much at night. Still, the city streets were kept swept of ash, and a remarkable number of the noble homes appeared occupied. She would have expected the noble population to be the first to bolt at the news of an approaching army. Frowning to herself, Vin completed her loop of the city, landing in a particular square that Set had suggested. The mansions here were separated from each other by large grounds and cultivated trees. She walked along the street, counting them off. At the fourth mansion, she leaped up and over the gate, then moved up the hill to the house. She wasn't certain what she expected to find. Set had been absent from the city for 2 years, after all. Yet he'd indicated that this informant was the most likely to be of help. True to Set's instructions, the rear balcony of the mansion was lit. Vin waited in the darkness suspiciously, the mist cold and unfriendly, yet providing cover. She didn't trust Set. She worried that he still bore her a grudge for her attack on his keep in Luthadel a year before. Wary, she dropped a coin and launched herself into the air. A lone figure sat on the balcony, fitting the description in Set's instructions. Those same instructions gave this informant the nickname Slow Swift. The old man appeared to be reading by the light of a lamp. Vin frowned, but as instructed, she landed on the balcony railing, crouching beside a ladder that would have allowed a more mundane visitor to approach. The old man did not look up from his book. He puffed quietly on a pipe, a thick woolen blanket across his knees. Vin wasn't certain if he noticed her or not. She cleared her throat.
"Yes, yes," the old man said calmly. "I shall be with you in a moment."
Vin cocked her head, looking at the strange man with his bushy eyebrows and frosty white hair. He was dressed in a nobleman's suit, with a scarf and an overcoat that bore an oversized fur collar. He appeared to be completely unconcerned by the mistborn crouching on his railing. Eventually, the elderly man closed his book, then turned toward her.
"Do you enjoy stories, young lady?"
"What kind of stories?"
"The best kind, of course," Slow Swift said, tapping his book. "The kind about monsters and myths. Long tales, some call them. Stories told by Scar round the fires, whispering of mist wraiths, sprites, and brawlins and such."
"I don't have much time for stories," Vin said.
"Seems that fewer and fewer people do these days."
A canopy kept off the ash, but he seemed unconcerned about the mists.
"It makes me wonder what is so alluring about the real world that gives them all such a fetish for it. It's not a very nice place these days."
Vin did a quick check with Bronze, but the man burned nothing. What was his game? "I was told that you could give me information," she said carefully.
"That I can certainly do," the man said.
Then he smiled, glancing at her.
"I have a wealth of information, though somehow I suspect that you might find most of it useless."
"I'll listen to a story, if that's what it will cost," the man chuckled.
"There's no surer way to kill a story than to make it a cost, young lady. What is your name, and who sent you?"